Pittsburgh, I love ya. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's cultural talk magazine, delivered digitally, straight up, shaken, and stirred. Tonight's broadcast brought to you by our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Zafalo's Banquet and Event Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, one of the most beautiful and unique venues in the greater Pittsburgh area for weddings, corporate dinners, fundraisers, and more. Visit clubzafalo.com. Off the Wall Theater, enlivening, educating, and entertaining audiences in the Pittsburgh region. View their current season at insideoffthewall.com. Arcade Comedy Theater, hosting local and national comedians, sketch comedy, improv, and more. 811 Liberty Avenue, downtown. Be sure to like them on Facebook or find them at arcadecomedytheater.com. Berg Vivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. You can learn more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. True Verit Fleming.
Yes.
True.
Yes.
How's business?
Business is wonderful.
Yeah?
I think so.
Here at PMT, Pittsburgh Musical Theater, for those who might not have heard the short version of it. this company's been working you, haven't they?
This is my second production with them. I did Shrek with them this time last year. That was pretty awesome. I played Humpty Dumpty.
So. Wow, you have made it. Now, let me ask you about your approach to Humpty Dumpty. Was this a...
I just pretended to be an egg on a wall, and all the king's horses and all the king's men just...
They couldn't do it. We know how it goes. But you know what somebody told me recently, and I realized that nowhere in that poem does it mention that he's an egg.
Right.
It just said Humpty Dumpty. What is with that? Did you uncover any of this when you studied this character?
Why we assumed
that it was an... Because it could be that, you know, all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. That could be, like, mentally, emotionally. You know, like, he just lost it. And
I don't know. I think he was a little more sane.
Did you keep it together during Shrek?
I think so. Yeah.
Good deal. Well, you know, who was our contributor that reviewed that? I think they really liked it. I think it was Lonnie, the theater lady, really gave that a good review. So you are an actor,
yes,
vocalist,
yes,
singer, and how should I put this? You don't strike me as somebody who is very old. So you're really getting a lot of work for a young performer here in Pittsburgh, which is really cool, I think.
I
see a lot of
that.
Very successful young performers here in the city. There's lots of opportunity. So how has it been?
It's been wonderful, really.
Yeah?
I mean, I came here in 2010 for college. I went to Point Park University, and I studied acting there with a minor in musical theater. I didn't actually think that I would have much of a career in musical theater.
Now, why is that?
Well, when I auditioned for the school, I know nothing about musical theater, really. I just knew that I was a singer. I went to church. I sang throughout my entire life. So I
so you thought, hey,
there.
Let's get a degree
yeah,
in it.
Let's get a degree. Yeah. I went in, and I just sang my heart out, but it wasn't stylistic. It wasn't musical theater. I was just a kid in there singing songs.
Mm.
So, you know, throughout the school process, I really learned to hone, you know, my skills, and I've been able to do a lot of musical stuff here in Pittsburgh. So, I mean, it's actually been kind of like a complete 180.
So the big question is, I think, the challenge that a lot of students have is they go to these collegiate programs with all these big ambitions, you know, especially we got all these things on TV now, like Glee, and we both went to Glee first, isn't that, you knew it was coming. I mean, we hit that right on the mark.
Absolutely.
That was scary, actually. But, you know, we've got all these things on TV, you know, like America's Got Talent and things, and I think there's these big dreams and expectations that, you know, you're going to make it, but then you've done nothing up until that point but go to school, essentially. So when you graduate, it's like you are pushed out of the nest. So what is that secret from making that transition from a fresh graduate to a working professional?
Well, I wish I could answer that without a little bit of baggage, if you will. I mean, I took 3 years off between going to high school and coming to college. So, I mean, within that 3 years, I really got an opportunity to know who I was as a person and in the workforce. You know, I got a job, I moved up. Things seemed like they were going very well. I wasn't content with that, so that's why I came to school. Hmm. So I would say for me, it was really just taking the time to get to know who I was and how I could manage in the world as a person and not necessarily an artist. I learned to hone those things in college, but when I graduated, it wasn't about like making it, because I'd already knew that I could handle life. So, you know, I just, no. I don't know, there's no pressure. That's really what it is, just knowing that there's no pressure.
Now, is that a vital component to being a successful performer? Because there's a lot of personal attachments in, I mean, you're not just you're not just selling a product that comes in a box, you're selling
your,
you know,
entire being.
What,
yeah. I would say so. I mean, when you look at the greats, I think a part of who they are is a lot of confidence. I mean, if you really think about it, they know who they are and what they present. And I think for the work that I've been able to do, I just presented who I was, and whoever that was in that room, those directors, those casting people, that's who they connected to. So I have no control over that. So I just kind of allow myself to do that.
You're inevitable is what you're trying to say in a very humble way. Is that it? Well, you mentioned the greats. Who in your mind are the greats?
Well, for me, someone that I could connect to definitely is Meryl Streep. I know a lot of people love her, rightfully
so. She's in right now.
She's totally in. I think over the last couple of years, especially the last 4 years, I've gotten to see different things that she's done, and she reminds me of someone that I hope to be, someone who can truly transform, who can do any role. I mean, whether there's makeup involved or not, I feel like she transforms herself into the character. The makeup and the costume, I think that adds to it. But otherwise, I mean, I would love to constantly be someone who just transforms.
I feel that way when I watch her in The Devil Wears Prada. Because I want to get to the point where all I have to do is take my glasses off and 50 people scatter for their lives. That is what I want in life. No matter what I've said on any other one of these segments,
yes,
that's what I want to be able to come out of the elevator, go like that, and boom, there's like 30 cups of coffee waiting for me. The spring issue's already put together.
Oh, man.
You know?
Yes.
So check in with me in maybe about another 6 months. I might have gotten there. Yeah, I'll probably be gray by then too, just like her. But so Meryl Streep. But how about in your educational career? I mean, has there been, you know, anybody that's really kind of stood out as far as imparting to you wisdom, advice, encouragement that's really stuck with you?
In all honesty, I would have to say all of my professors. I mean, that's really where it stems from. Just kind of all of them in their own right, telling me that what I was and who I was capable of doing this. I mean, I really came into school and into this industry blind. I just knew that I had the passion for it. So, I mean, having people consistently tell you that you are worthy, you're good enough, and in every way, I mean, being cast and, you know, having one-on-one sessions, mentorships, being able to sit in into other rehearsals and just in class and for them to always tell me to go for things. I feel like I owe them all a lot more than just they were my teacher and I was a student and I learned stuff. I mean, they really did do all that for me.
Now, it seems to me to keep this career going, you've kind of got to be always looking for the next thing, you know? So how do you manage that?
It's a little difficult, but I mean, I'm constantly online looking for things. I don't have any representation.
No, we should specify that's auditions, right?
Yes.
I knew where you were going, but, you know, because I'm in the business.
You know me.
Not that business. But the business.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm always online looking for auditions and castings to go to, and I think that that's the key. I mean, one thing I remember hearing was you have to show up. I mean, you never know unless you show up, so.
That would be, I think, yes, tied to the top of the list. Be there.
Be there, and you may get a job. you know. So I just try to take that on as often as I can go. The more likely I'll be cast. So I mean, there is a little pressure in that, right, to keep myself out there.
And I guess, you know, I mean, as all actors do, you've got to really face rejection a lot.
Yeah, that definitely is there. I mean, I'm glad I haven't had a lot of rejection, but that is just relative to how many auditions I've gone to. Mm. And I would say that, I guess I just learned as a kid that, like, that's kind of how it happens, no matter what job you're going for.
So what's your ideal job or lifestyle, or what is your career goal?
I mean, I'm definitely kind of like a pop star. Like, that is where I think I am. I mean, I love acting and being on the stage doing theatrical events, but I definitely love fronting a band. It is
really,
it is, there is something about, I guess that's why I love it in theater as well, because you get the live band in the cockpit, so it's like, you know, the music is real.
But you can feel it.
You can feel it.
That's a thing that not a lot of people get. I had a bit role in an opera one time at the Benedum, okay? Now, this is nothing to you guys. You've been on these giant stages before. I don't think I'd ever been on a stage that big in my life, but the most amazing thing to me was step out there and just feel, first of all, the wall of people. I mean, it's a literal wall of people from floor to ceiling, yes, at the Benedum. But to feel the energy and the vibrations and the power of that music just coming at you. There's, I would even stand in the wings when I wasn't on, just to kind of get, and you know, it was, of course, this, you know, this the musicians that Pittsburgh Opera uses, they're phenomenal. It was really an experience to feel that music. I get it. I know what you're talking
exactly
about.
Exactly. Well, in the band, like, fronting a band, it's different because it becomes a representation of just you and what you can conjure up right then and there, versus having to study a script and any backstory and a create backstory and do all that kind of stuff. I just go out there and I sing, you know, covers, and I sing my own music, and it's just, it's a remarkable feeling. Mm. The only difference really is that, like, I'm solely responsible for everything, not the production, itself, so it's amazing.
Now, do you have a band?
I don't have a band of my own. I do perform with a band, the Elite Show Band.
Oh, yeah, we've had them on the show.
Yes, they are wonderful.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I love working with them. And
so now what do you do? Now, Elite Show Band, that's like a big band. That's like a, you know, they are heavy duty, like, celebration kind of band. So you kind of come out and be like, live from the Civic Arena. Civic Arena's been gone for, what, 20 years? God, I'm dating myself again. But yeah, so like, what, I'm trying to really, like, visualize. Are you like that Don Pardo sort of guy? Or, but you're,
you know,
singing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just with a microphone and I'm in front of the band and I'm grooving and I'm having a good time and we're singing all these.
Thank you for this demonstration.
Yes,
and I know I know that the chair is holding you back a little bit, but I think that, you know, visually, and for those listening to this on radio or podcast, trust me, it was quite a sight. So all of this has brought you currently to Pittsburgh Musical Theater.
Yes.
And you're currently working on the production, The Little Mermaid, which will open soon.
Yes, we open the 22nd,
yeah,
actually.
It's coming up. And the character you are cast, was it the starfish? Or it's a very iconic character,
yes,
many people are familiar with. It is Sebastian the Crab.
Yes.
Now, do you have any experience performing as sea creatures, or
no? This is my first time being a sea creature.
You went from an egg on a wall
to being a sea creature, exactly.
Moving on up, like I said. See, you keep this trend going, you can get to a land mammal next. I mean, you're really good. So, have you seen this film?
Yes.
This iconic Disney movie.
I have. I just recently watched it, obviously for research purposes, for, you know, rehearsal, but. I mean, I slightly remember seeing it as a kid. Mm. I definitely remember watching it and kind of falling in love with the story and probably the music. I mean, the music is definitely really wonderful stuff. So.
Well, this crab has the best songs in the whole thing.
Well, he's the most memorable, if you will. Mm. It's A Part of Your World for Ariel, and for Sebastian, it's Kiss the Girl and Under the Sea. And most people know those because those are the big, like, ensemble numbers. So, yeah, I mean, I've always loved them, and now I get to sing them.
That's kind of a big responsibility, I think, because this is a character that everybody knows. So is there a lot of pressure between imitating what everybody knows and putting your own spin on it?
I wouldn't say that there's any, like, outright pressure, but I definitely feel a lot of pressure within myself to do it justice, for sure. It's really not that difficult because it's all right there in the text and in the movie. So, I mean, I can pick up a lot of those things, but to make it real, obviously, I bring a lot of myself, and that kind of relaxes me. It keeps me grounded and rooted in the fact that the performance should be good because I'm going to do my absolute best.
Now, what kind of crab is this? Are we talking like king crab? what other kind of, like, blue crab?
Blue crab, mountain crab.
Well, I mean, surely you must know this if you're, you know, this close to this character.
I would like to say that I am a nice snow crab.
Oh, okay. There you go.
I mean, we're in the middle of Denmark, if you will, right?
Oh, that's okay. Like, so we know that. Story, I never knew that's where it took place. But.
I mean, obviously we're underwater, so we're not really in
That must be hard to
Denmark,
act under those circumstances. Let alone sing.
Take the bubbles.
A lot of gargling goes on, I guess. But God bless you all. I mean, wow. People really got to come see this and support I mean, three people drowned already.
We're not even way here.
Right?
That's so good. So,
I got to hand it to you. I mean, really. Taking one for the team there. Now, what's this guy's backstory? Like, what's he all about psychologically?
Well, I think at least in the context of where we pick up in the show and where we end off in the show, you get the story of a part of King Triton's kingdom, if you will. He has kind of been Triton's right-hand man for a very long time. And when Triton's wife dies, he banishes music within the kingdom.
Now, this is, I think, something I don't recall from the film.
Right. So in the film. However, they did do a couple versions that kind of show the beforehand and afterwards. And it's kind of put out there that Sebastian is the reason why music comes back to the kingdom. How he gets the title of being the court composer, which is what everyone knows him as.
That's a lot riding on your shell there.
Yeah, I think so. I'm trying not to crack it.
There we go. Now, listen, have you ever had good Alaskan king crab?
No.
Listen, while you're working on the show, get yourself down to Luke Woolley's Wild Alaskan Grill. I'm dead serious. Listen, we did an episode there a couple weeks ago. You can find it online at Berg Vivant. And, you know, I was just going to sit down and interview Luke Woolley. And, you know, Woolley's Fish Market and stuff. So they've got all this fresh fish coming in. He laid out this spread of Alaskan king crab legs. And I'm there in this tuxedo, like, cracking them and things. And I have avoided eating crab because, you know, same thing with lobster. It's like a delicacy,
right?
But you're basically reduced to a barbarian to have to eat it. You got to wear a bib like a child. You're using your bare hands, squirting in your eye, and, you know, it's hardly glamorous. But, you know, I tried it out, and let me tell you, it was delicious. We only get here in the United States, I think. Well, when Alaskan king crab comes off the boat, like on Deadliest Catch, what Luke told me is 90% of it goes to Japan, and only 10% is coming here. Which is why it's so expensive. So he's got some. So get down there and do a little case study.
I might have to do a case study. Do they have good butter there?
Oh, of course they do. You can't have that without butter. Are you kidding? Listen, you should put that in your rider, in your contract. You got to have butter in your dressing room.
Yes,
this crab needs to be buttered up before he goes out there. I not only want to sound good, I want to be delicious out on that stage. And listen, this advice, I only charge you 10%.
Right, okay, all right.
We're good, So it's got to be exciting. Have we done Little Mermaid in Pittsburgh before? Is this a premiere?
I think actually the national tour came through. I don't remember when that was, but they came through. And then, you know, here at PMT, we're going to have our premiere with it. So it'll be, I think it'll be really awesome.
Good deal.
I would hope that people liked the tour, and whether they did or they didn't, hopefully they'd come and support us. I mean, it's a wonderful cast of people. I truly mean this. I want to be able to see the show. That's one thing that I hate about being a performer, is that when I'm in the show, I can't see it at all.
Well, so. That's that whole showing up thing, you know? That's the consequence of that.
Right, if I show up and I get into the show, I can't see the show.
It's a double-edged sword, my friend. I don't envy that, yeah. Then maybe somebody will film it for you, or if that's illegal.
I mean,
no, we don't want to encourage
illegal.
That.
We don't want to do that.
Just watch the movie and imagine.
Right.
Just
I'll just imagine.
That's me
myself,
there.
Right?
Yeah. No, it's always good when you've got a good ensemble, you know, especially something like this. I imagine there's got to be a lot of laughs when you've got, like, people walking around in an octopus costume and flippers and things like that. Probably a lot of funny stuff. Are you guys in costumes yet?
We haven't gotten into costume yet, but they've brought in a lot of costumes in, so we've gotten
to
see
them. Pincers, like.
I'm not sure yet.
Don't you think they should be castanets if he's musical? Isn't that brilliant? Look, I'm just full of it today.
Right, the whole time.
So he could just break into it. Why did they not write that in? It's because they're not as clever as
you have to take
Brian Edward here. Take it up with Disney. Yeah, I'll let you know how that goes. Did you ever picture yourself playing a Disney character? Did you ever see that in the cards?
No, I didn't, actually.
It's kind of a lofty thing to aspire to, you know.
I still don't even know how to feel about it.
Yeah.
I show up to work, we do rehearsal, and at the end of the night I go home and I work on my script, and I just really, it's still hard to think, like, I am playing this role, and a lot of people know this role and know this show.
Now, there's an accent, too.
Yes.
He's, Cockney British?
It's like, could you imagine? That would actually, backstory, he was supposed to be Upper British.
Like in the film, originally?
Yes. That character. And then they wrote it as a Caribbean.
His demeanor kind of implies that. He's sort of like the fuss budget. Like, don't do this, don't do that. Yeah, those British actors you get pigeonholed as, unfortunately.
Yes. So that's a part of it, actually. And I try to use a part of that as well, knowing that they did intend for that when they first created that character.
Mm-hmm. So did you do a lot of dialect?
I have been working on it, yeah. It's actually really not that hard once you get into it, but I think as most actors are a little bit self-conscious, especially when it comes to doing dialects, it is slightly difficult to make sure it sounds good and it sounds consistent. But otherwise, I mean, kind of listening to the film and some of the people who did it on Broadway and on, you know, the tour and before they were on Broadway, I mean, I've really been able to get into it, and it actually, like, helps influence the character so much more.
Hmm. Cool, too. Now, do you yourself enjoy the ocean?
I do.
Yeah?
I do. I lived in Florida for 7 years.
Oh, there you go.
And I lived on the beach, and I love going to the beach. The beach is my favorite thing, so, I mean, it's actually kind of wonderful to, like, be in the water.
Yeah.
You know, to be in the water as a crab.
Now, they had that kind of, like, phony documentary on Discovery Channel a couple years back that was kind of implying that mermaids were real or could be real. Now, what are your thoughts on this?
You know, why not?
Well, I'll tell you why not. Because it's ludicrous. But that's just my opinion. I'm asking for yours.
I think, no, I mean, I don't think they're real, but at the same time, I mean, I've never seen one, so I can't judge.
But this month, on stage,
yes,
they are very real.
Very real.
Are we doing suspension, like people swimming like through the air or anything
there
like Kathy Rigby stuff?
No,
or?
There's no suspension, but I mean, there is suspension of disbelief.
There we go. That was
all
very
right.
Nice. Very handy on that one. That was unwritten. That was unplanned. So, what are your thoughts on improv on that subject? Because, you know, you mentioned a little bit, you know, you kind of like being up on stage when you're doing the fronting for the bands. It's a little more, you know, spontaneous.
It is a little more. I would say that I love spontaneous performing. I wouldn't say where it comes to, like, words and actions. I don't think that that's my thing, per se, so...
Now, an actor who says that words and actions are not my thing. All right, so what's left? What have you got after that? Mental telepathy, I suppose.
I love learning lines.
Oh, okay.
So
okay, so you need structure.
Yeah,
that's
I would say
how
so.
You like to work. Yeah, I have always been envious of those performers that can kind of just give caution to the wind and be completely just unafraid up there.
See, I think I'm a little bit too much of a perfectionist.
Mm-hmm.
So because of that, the structure really kind of allows me to stay within a box, but to decide when I leave the box. You know, I do need the spontaneity, but I need some kind of guideline, at least. So that is definitely how I would work.
Interesting to approach this role of Sebastian the Crab as like a hardcore method actor, don't you think? Like, oh, where's Trudy? Oh, he's curled up in that shell again. And he like grew out of it. Now he moved to like a different one or something. Or, you know, you just go around like pinching people on the bus and they got to bail you out of jail and things. Like, to go hardcore method with Sebastian the Crab.
I should, for at least a day, right?
Do it. Yeah, you like dig a little hole or like you just walk sideways for an entire week.
Man.
Give that a whirl, would you?
I will try that.
And when I see this phenomenal performance on stage in The Little Mermaid, I'm going to think to myself, took that to heart. Look at him go. Walking sideways.
I'm going to try it for sure. I'll let you know.
And is that garlic butter I smell? I think so. Jeez, we're really cutting up on this poor guy. This is... What? Now, if I recall the plot correctly, he narrowly survives a brush with an insane chef.
Yes. Absolutely.
And but now, if this story were to continue... Where do we see this crab, you know, down the line? Have you given any thought to this?
You know, I haven't gotten that far yet.
Mm.
We're really, what is this, our 7th or 8th rehearsal. So, I mean, we're just a day or two into act two. Where this
Don't you open begins. On, like, the 22nd? Jeez.
We do. So, I mean, you figure I still have a couple
Get
days.
Get moving. A couple days. Yeah. Couple
we
hours.
Just started act two yesterday.
Well.
So, you know,
keeping
really
it spontaneous, all right. You're on.
We really just get into it, but I don't know. He's gonna still be under the water, conducting
under the sea.
You know, he'll be Ariel's best friend forever.
Grumpy old man walks into a restaurant and says, "Do you serve crabs here?" And the maitre d' says, "Well, yes, sir. We'll serve anybody." You get it? I don't get it. Thank you. That's what I was waiting for. Jeez. Don't make me wait for applause, because that's when weird stuff happens. Thank you.
Yes,
very, very good.
Yes.
So, true. It is true that we can see this fantastic performance, you in a shell.
Yes.
On stage, Little Mermaid opens January 22nd.
January 22nd.
And we're at the Biom for this one? Yes.
We're at the Biom.
Very good. Little
Mermaid.
That
is actually the resident theater for PMT.
And it's as far as resident theaters go, not a bad one.
Oh, we love that space.
Yeah. So get down and see it. You know, whether you've seen the film, I think, or not, because there's some different things, you
there
know.
There are a few different things, but I think that overall you'll get the story that Disney presents, and you'll love it. I mean, I love it.
Well, you have to, because you're on camera on behalf of Pittsburgh Musical Theater. You've done very well. Now scurry, crab, scurry.
Fine, I'll
no,
leave.
Right. Well, here, cheers to The Little Mermaid. Thank you for chatting with us here on Bird Vivant today. And break a leg, break a shell. Crack a leg. What are we going to... In closing, we would like to once again thank our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Off the Wall Theater, Cefalo's Banquet and Events Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, Arcade Comedy Theater, Downtown, and Berg Vivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. Find out more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. And be sure to follow Pittsburgh's Cultural Talk magazine online. You can find Berg Vivant, the It in Pittsburgh, on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribe for free at www.bergvivant.com. This is Brian Edwards saying cheers and good night.